That was Anthrax. Anthrax with Antisocial. That's an older one. Why don't you tell me why you picked that song, and I can tell you what I think about that song, Doug.
Well, like we talked about before, we're supposed to just come up with a song for the other person to lead in with, I guess, or however you want to say it. But
yeah.
So I used to be real big fan of Anthrax, and
really,
and that song especially. And at the time, I back when I was in high school, I used to listen to Anthrax quite a bit. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you that song speaks to me. But me being me being an introvert like I am, I have an appreciation for it now.
You being an introvert, you're a funny guy.
I'm serious. I consider myself an introvert.
You seriously?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. I mean, just because we record ourselves having stupid fucking conversations and put them out there for the world to listen to doesn't mean that I'm not. I know when I'm in a social situation, I clam up and become just a fucking idiot. I mean, I can't.
That's because you're a pussy, not an introvert.
Oh. Okay.
Oh. I'm just kidding. I'm worse than you in social situations. You know that.
Well, I didn't know if you felt comfortable talking about it, so I wasn't going to bring it up. But I've seen you.
I do bring it up.
You're a pussy.
You are what you eat, dick.
All right, and now we're in third grade again.
Oh, did we ever leave? So do you want to know what I think about that song?
Oh, I guess I have to listen to it. Go ahead.
Nothing. I haven't heard that song in so damn long, and... I guess. I don't fucking know.
It's just as good, if not better, than that John Kerry song you picked last week.
John Kerry? No. I'm going to go ahead and say no. There's no substance to that song. So, I'm antisocial. Okay. Where's the substance, you know? Where's the song part of the song?
You're an idiot. Anyway.
No, it's not a bad song. I'm just fucking around. It's all right.
God, you're a piece of shit.
I just haven't heard it in a really long time, and I was never like a fan of Anthrax, but I never like hated them, you know what I mean? I kind of always, that dude with the really long goatee was pretty awesome looking, Scott Ian. Plus, yeah, he's just a really cool dude.
How could you not like the song I Am the Man?
It was what was the one they did with Run DMC? Was it Run DMC?
Oh, they did one with Public Enemy. It was Bring the Noise.
Public Enemy, that's what it was. Killer Attack of the Killer Bees, right?
Yeah.
It was what the fuck was it?
Bring the Noise. I already fucking told you.
Bring the Noise. Damn it. There we go. Did you already say that?
Yeah. So I can say it again. Bring the Noise.
What was it again?
Fuck, you're an idiot. All right. Well, it's been good talking to you.
No, it hasn't.
We're not even arguing, and you already got me frustrated.
So would you? This is my what I'm thinking. I guess. What would you consider yourself antisocial?
Yes.
Seriously?
I have a tattoo across my arm that says "No human contact." I think that speaks volumes.
But you also have a fucking Wile E. Coyote tattoo, or a Marvin the Martian, or whatever the fuck it is.
You know, I know it looks like Wile E. Coyote, but it's actually a portrait of your mother.
Oh, so you're like the least antisocial person I know.
How do you figure?
I don't.
How can I don't know that people brag about having social anxiety. And then when I say it on the air, if you will. You're trying to take that away from me like I'm faking it?
Yes. I think it's made up. It's in your head. You love people. You love crowds of people.
You know, it's weird. I don't mind. So I'm getting better at getting up and presenting to large groups of people. That don't bother me. That's like stage fright. That's a whole different can of worms for me. But if I run into somebody outside of work, that I see every day at work, that I talk to every day at work, I my brain just locks up. I have nothing to say. And then
it's weird because I feel the same, not necessarily the same, I guess, but it's like I see them and I hope that they don't see me, and I kind of turn the other way because try to avoid. I mean, it's somebody that I see every goddamn day, you know. Isn't that weird?
And then when it's like, especially around the holidays, when you're expected to go to people's houses,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether it's a Christmas party or a something for work or whatever, I cannot get out of there fast enough. I mean, I just can't. I can't leave as quick as I want to.
Huh. All right, I retract my previous statement. You're a pretty antisocial guy. I'm just figuring this out about you, you know.
but for some reason, I enjoy doing this. I think it's because I don't have to look at anybody.
Yeah.
And what's really funny is, you know, we both listen to the show before it gets posted, make sure that everything's okay. And there's a lot of times that I'll sit there and think, I should have said this. And my brain is still in that same sort of mode when we're recording that I'm almost super conscious of what I'm saying.
Yeah. For me, this show has been pretty, I think the best word would be like cathartic, I guess. Like
I think you mean lethargic.
Yeah, well, yeah. No, that's me, not the show. That's
we put other people, we make other people lethargic.
Yep, that's my goal. If you're super lazy, it doesn't make me feel as bad about being super lazy. So,
it's been therapeutic for me. I enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good word too. Yeah, I think. I think that I would fit the bill of antisocial, but it's weird because I don't want to be. I try not to be. But it's like my nature, and it's weird. How do you fight against your own nature?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't care. I'm done trying to fight it, you know. I've always got like a look on my face. It doesn't even matter if I'm having a good time. People start coming up and saying, "What's wrong?" And that just puts me in a shitty mood, and then I want to leave. Or I'm just start getting comfortable, and then, you know, my wife will say, like, "What's wrong?" And that puts me in a shitty mood and I want to leave.
Yeah. So the first time I saw you, not even meet you, just saw you, I thought, holy shit, that dude's a hardcore fucking metalhead, man. And then the first time I meet you, you're like, "Hey, how you doing? I love Sir Mix-a-Lot. Baby got back."
I'm pretty sure
that's how you introduced yourself.
You know, if I didn't, I'm going to start doing that now.
Yeah. I was very surprised. I know this is a terrible thing or whatever, but from the way you look to the way you are, couldn't be more different.
Thanks.
That was a compliment. You look like I said, you looked like a metalhead to me. I really thought you were like a hardcore metalhead burnout type of guy, you know what I mean?
And you look like you smell like pee.
Yeah, I probably do.
Well, I was gonna say that I can't say that you're different. I mean,
because I do smell like pee.
No, I get that a lot.
At least I'm trying to be nice.
I get that a lot, that I come off as unapproachable. And I think
that, that's a really good way to put it. Unapproachable. That's really good, actually.
I think that I would have to say that I do that to myself, I guess. You don't, you know, when you get tattoos across your neck and whatever, that puts out a message.
Neck tattoos are always a good life choice, guys.
They are. And, you know, I would recommend to any kids that are looking to get into the corporate world, it makes it easier if you got a tattoo across your neck.
Yes. Just put that shit out there. So it doesn't quite fit, but being antisocial, it doesn't fit with the way that I, like, lived my life. I almost got into selling Amway. You couldn't be more social than selling fucking Amway, right?
So that would be pretty interesting to you now going up to somebody's door and trying to push Amway on them, you know?
Yeah. I did sell vacuum cleaners door to door. God, that's so fucking embarrassing to even say.
What kind of fucking turd would apply for a job selling vacuum cleaners?
So it was in the newspaper, and it said make, you know, $10,000 a day or whatever. And I actually quit my job. I called them, and I quit my fucking job and went down to this little shitty place on West 3rd Street or whatever. And it was like a shitty little building. And the first day, I knew that I was in trouble when they said, if you sell this many vacuums, you'll get this much commission. If you sell this many, you'll get this much commission. And then he said, if you sell this many, and then he paused and he's like, I'll give you a 19-inch TV. What the fuck?
So was this a like a major name in the vacuum game?
I haven't heard the name since I quit.
Oh, okay. Because I replied to one of them same ads back when I was had to been just around 18 years old, I guess. Yeah. And I would almost imagine, I don't remember it real clear because there's been a lot of beer consumed between then and now, but I remember the same thing. It was a shitty, over in Davenport, shitty building, shitty room, and a bunch of what looked to be people on the getting ready to start the prime of their life, and people who have seen people who have seen a lot better days. And I think we all had hopes of buying a summer home with whatever this opportunity was.
Buying a summer home.
I remember. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you if you ever sold any, but go ahead.
Oh, so that's what I was going to say is so I didn't have a job to quit at the time, but my parents were on vacation and I called them and said,
hey. They left the keys to the brand new Porsche?
You think they'd mind?
No, hell, of course not.
So I really thought I would just take it for a little spin.
No, maybe. I'm not going down this road with you. I'm not doing it.
You started it,
finish
fucker.
Your story.
Yeah. I've got to finish the song in my head. So fair enough. I called my parents and I said, hey, I got this job and it's like $97 an hour. They hired me on the spot over the phone without they're like, okay, well, good luck. So I went to that orientation, which is basically it's like an hour or 2 hours of them showing you how this vacuum cleaner works, and then they let me take one home. And mm-hmm. So when my parents got home, you know, I wanted to sell my first vacuum cleaner. And I'm pretty sure I threw some fucking coffee grounds on the carpet to show them how quickly it could come up. And the end of it was my mom said something to the effect of, get that piece of shit out of the house. All right, so can I put you down for two?
So I think that I probably would have been more successful if these vacuums weren't $2,500 a piece.
Yeah.
I could do all the demonstrating I want. But nobody wants a $2,500 vacuum.
So how long ago was this for you?
I was 18. I was out of high school. So yeah, I was 18 just after I graduated.
And so I think I hit this probably, what am I, like 4 years older than you or something? Or 10? I
don't even know how fucking old. I'm 37. Okay, I'm 37. So what are you, like 52?
So I'm 5 years older than you, you piece of shit. So I I went through the same experience. I guess that would be 5 years before you.
But I did it for 7 consecutive days, never sold a vacuum, and I was just done. I remember I was in somebody's trailer and I lifted the vacuum handle and I hit their ceiling fan and I broke one of the blades on their ceiling fan. Oh God. I shouldn't have known right then. I just stop. Just be done with this bullshit.
Yeah, I don't know. That was funny. Good story, Anthony. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, thanks.
I was.
Yeah, I. Go ahead.
I was just playing it in my head. You being as awkward as you are, and then breaking their ceiling fan, and I can only imagine you just boxed everything up and left without saying anything.
Didn't say nothing. That's great. So I also, God, this sucks. I also found an ad in a. It wasn't even a regular newspaper. It was just one of those
back pages
things that you get for free. It was an ad that said, "Make thousands of dollars stuffing envelopes." So I sent him my address, and I swear to God, for like 3 years after that, every day I was getting junk mail from. I mean, they must have sold my address to everybody.
You know, it sucks when you want to make a bunch of money and you don't want to work for it.
Yep. I feel like that every single day. I don't even need a bunch of money, just a little bit. I'm not greedy, I'm just lazy.
So you think that's your shittiest job was the vacuum cleaner?
No. My shittiest job was I worked at a call center, actually. That was my shittiest job. I worked at a call center. I was answering balance transfer requests for Citibank. People would call to transfer, you know, to their new Citibank card or whatever. And the whole place I was surrounded by, I don't think there was a woman that was under 400 pounds and not pregnant. It was just the bottom of the barrel trash. And I just felt oh my God, I just felt drowning in trash. And I'm not like, you know, top of the pile. I'm kind of trashy myself, but Jesus Christ, you know.
You know, fuck, it just seems like this show would go better if we planned.
But we're going right back to this. You know I'm lazy, and I have, in all reality, if you want to know the 100% reality of the situation, the day before we're ready to record this show, I am dreading it and ready to call you and tell you that I don't want to do this anymore because the anxiety of just recording this show is so high. And it's not that it's actually recording the show. It's that on my mind, I have something to do. If I have anything planned or something to do, I have anxiety about it. And I just can't get over that. But when I'm actually recording it, it's a blast. And when I'm editing it, it's fun. When it goes out, it's great. Just actually having something planned to do just kills me.
So I go through kind of a different range of emotions when we're supposed to record, say we're supposed to record at 2:00.
Yeah.
Right up until about 1:45, I'm excited. I've got a whole bunch of things in my head I want to talk about. And then as soon as I put on the headphones and turn on the mic, my mind goes blank. My palms get sweaty. my knees are weak. Mom spaghetti. Yep. And just like right now, you know, I go through, it's almost like a stage fright, and maybe it would have been better when nobody was listening to it, but whatever.
Now that we have 12 people listening.
So, you know, we kicked around this idea because there's so many people that are listening to this. We kicked around an idea of doing a live one here locally, just sitting down in a public place and put it out there. If people want to come watch us record it, of course it'd be free because we're,
cause I wouldn't pay to see me.
So I don't know what it would be like then. Fuck. Even if like 6 people show up, I'll just clam up and not have anything to say and
sit in the corner and cry. Yeah, that scares me a little bit.
So maybe we just don't advertise that we're going to do it.
And then we just do it and hope nobody shows up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when it's done, just say, oh, we forgot to push the record button on the live Facebook feed, so it wasn't really live. Sorry.
So I'm you can cut this out if you're not okay with it, but I got a letter from somebody, a handwritten letter, and he said that I should have grabbed it so I could read it, because I'm not going to do it justice, but he wanted to commend me on my part in this podcast and how well it's going. This showed up in the mail, yeah. And
to your house?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Well, it's somebody that I have a friendship with outside of...
Well, yeah, obviously, but that's still just crazy, you know?
Well, anyway, so what he said was something to the effect of, Doug, you have done a great job of getting me to listen to every episode, only because you promised me that you would say my name over the air, and now I have to listen to them ear turds every week, and yet you have not said my name.
So, at this point, I'm not going to let you say his name, and if you do, I'm cutting it out.
Well, I don't know that you... So, ultimately, I have the final say over what goes out, right?
If I delete it and it's gone forever...
Then I can just re-record it over on top of it and put it out there right before I post it.
I suppose you could. Do you have the capabilities?
It's not like you need a fucking studio.
That was a joke. Just a joke.
So anyway, I just thought that was funny. And so what I wanted to do before you came off like a fucking dickhead was not say his name. Just tease him with the
fact. Oh, I came off like a dickhead because I stole your idea?
No, that was my whole point, was that I wasn't going to say his name. But whatever. Yeah, so you ruined that bit. I'll cross that off. Hold on. Listen.
What's his name? What's his name?
I'm not fucking telling you. So the other thing was, you had some homework to do. You were supposed to go suck a cock and then report back to me on what it was like.
It was great. It was like kind of like a finger, but a little saltier.
All right. That didn't go anywhere. Hold on.
Yep. Cross that out.
All right. I'm done.
Oh, my God. All right. So that was it, huh? So... I shared my shittiest job with you. What was your shittiest job?
I've had several. I think I've worked more jobs. So the place that I'm working at now, I've been there for 10 years. The place before that, I was there for 7 years. And then about 6 years to the place before that. And then before that, I bet I worked 60 fucking jobs. You know, it was nothing for me to go to work and then just quit during the first break or something.
Wow.
There's the story that you cut out last week. That was there was a whole section of the story that you cut out, but that was a bad job.
At your request.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. At my request.
I just wanted to make, sure that I'm not.
Well, we know how you like to wield that power.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. You know, 'cause I make myself look so good on this show.
So the worst job physically was probably roofing.
Oh, yeah, that would suck.
But there's been, that was just only because it was so fucking physical and I'm lazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, fuck. So I worked at a bottled water company through a temp service. This is back when I was drinking heavily. So I would go from, you know, assignment to assignment or whatever. And so there were, what is that, 3 gallon, the things that go in the water coolers, 5 gallon, whatever they are.
They got 3 and 5.
So my job was to fill those up. And all you did is fill them up out of the tap, you know. And this was a big name company. They just had this conveyor. So these things would go through the washer and then come out of the washer.
You fill them up literally out of the tap? From, like, tap water?
Well, to me, it was tap water. I mean, it just came right out of the wall, and there was a big nozzle that you put on it and turned it on. I don't know. It could have went through a filtration system of some sort. I don't know. But anyway, there was probably like 2 inches of water on the floor at all times. You had you stood on an empty milk crate to stay out of the water. And then
Jesus.
One of these big bucket or big containers of water, the 5 gallon containers, would come off the assembly line, and you put a cap on it and hit it with a rubber mallet, and then you take it and walk through the water and put it on a pallet on the fork truck, and then go back, and there'd be one waiting for you. So you're constantly just wading through the water. And so you put like 5 layers of these things on the pallets. So let's say there's 500 gallons of water.
Yeah.
So my first day, you know, I fill up the pallet, and at that time I had never driven a fork truck, and you know, your orientation is stand here, fill these up, put the caps on, put them on there. When you get the pallet filled up, run it across the, take it outside across the parking lot, put it inside that door, and they'll load it on a truck, and then get back here and get caught back up. That was your orientation. Right? So I get my first full pallet, get on the fork truck, come out into the parking lot, and the whole fucking thing dumps over. There's so 500 gallons of water all over the parking lot. I didn't even shut the fork truck off. I just got off the fork truck, went to my car, and drove home.
Are you serious?
That is 100% true.
Oh, that is amazing. Oh, Jesus. That's awesome. I can't say that I've ever quit a job that dramatically. I wish I have.
That's not even the only time I've quit my job on, like, either at first break or before first break.
You say that's not the only time?
No.
Jesus. That's funny, man. Yeah, but that would suck, though. What are you going to do? I mean, mop it up? Mop it up and squeeze it back into the jugs to sell to people?
I had a... I don't know. I guess it don't matter. You can do your fucking editing magic on it. But so I worked over in Davenport. It was at Fire and Tire Style.
Yeah.
And it was this big, nasty fucking warehouse. And all you had to do is manually move these tractor tires from one side of the warehouse to the other by the dock doors as the semis would come up. And, of course, I had been out all night the night before drinking.
Oh,
and there was a contest that as long as you drank a shot of tequila and ate the worm at the bottom, you got the next one for free. So I was a raging alcoholic with no money. So that was like, I was going to just get as much alcohol as possible. So anyway, so I'm, you know, I go into my first day at work drunk and, coming off of being drunk and starting to be hungover, I guess. And there was this part in this old dingy warehouse that every time I walked past it, which was every 5 minutes, I got the distinct smell of tequila, and it made me dry. And it made me dry heave. So it was like probably the 20 or 30th tire I was pushing, and I couldn't take it no more, and just fucking threw up everywhere. And same thing, I just walked away from that tire, went down to my car, drove home, went to bed. So that was probably like 25, 30 years ago. I wonder if I could go back there and get my check.
Probably. They probably owe you like $4. That's pretty good. I don't have any story like that. I've never once in my life went to work hungover or drunk. Because I'm not like a big drinker, so... that would suck, I can imagine, but I don't know how it feels.
Yeah, that's a big part of the reason why, you know, I wouldn't say that I've quit drinking. I may have a beer or two on the weekends now.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was a big part of my life for a long time, and now I've just got no interest in it anymore.
Well, you gotta grow up sometime, right? Aren't you building a robot now?
I'm trying, but it's one of them things where I'm not as smart as I think I am, you know. So I can. Are you familiar with the Arduinos?
in passing, I know what they are.
Yeah. So it's like everything else in my life. You know, I want to teach myself how to do something, and then once I'm successful at it, then I just quit. You know, so I got... it's just how I do everything. It's like the same thing with the sticker business. The same thing. You know, we talked about that last week, where we wanted to see that we could do it, and once we did, it was like work, and then we didn't want to do it anymore.
So... That's funny. My dad used to tell me that if you find something that you love and you do that for a job, you'll never work a day in your life, which I don't know that I believe that, because I feel the same way. Like, doing anything is work. Even if I enjoy it, it still becomes work eventually. Like, I always think I'm going to start doing something else so that I don't have to have a 9-to-5 job. But then you realize that something else is a lot more work than a 9-to-5 job.
Well, I just looked up and seen that we're a half hour in. We haven't talked about shit.
Is that good or bad? We haven't argued about anything. I don't know. Do people not want to listen to us argue?
I don't know. I know that I get people... So I am going to say her name, and you're going to leave it in. Tasha Han. She thinks we should go for an hour or two in every show.
Two? two hours? I'm not sure that I can handle talking to you for 2 hours.
Yeah, I've got no interest in it either. What we could do is just not even record it. Me and you could just call her, and then we could just talk to each other, and she could listen. She could have her own show. She's always... commenting on every episode. She's involved very heavily in Facebook. I think she takes better notes than we do, because she leaves a comment about everything that we talk about.
You know, I've like you said, we're a half hour in. I already forgot what we talked about in this show, much less the last show. Didn't we say something about taxes, corporate loopholes?
Yeah, but...
Or was that... Was that before we were recording?
Yeah, that was before we were recording.
Well, it's kind of pointless to start a conversation now.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was thinking is, I don't know if you want to cut this, you know, like say goodbye and...
Yeah. Let's do that. Let's call it a night.
Thanks, everybody.
It's like 2:30 in the afternoon, but let's call it a night. I'm going back to bed. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, Google, Ask Jeeves, whatever.
Thanks.
Your singing was a little flat that time. Barry, why don't you play an A for Steve? You got that, Steve?
Fuck this shit.
What's got into him?
He can't take criticism.
Well, great. There goes the band.